and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. Today we're in the Bronx and I'm sitting down with, I don't want to say a friend, she feels like family to me. I'm sitting down with Kimberly, who I call Kim, but Kimberly is a senior vice president, the head of municipal finance, risk credit management. That's a mouthful, that Kim. So when I said I wanted to do this podcast, like I've said before, I wanted to highlight people of color who are thriving in their business. And Kim is someone who has been, you know, she's related to my best friend, and she's always kind of given us advice about how we can thrive as women of color and what we can do with our money. And she's someone to definitely look up to because of all the traveling and all the things that she has been successful at. So I know a lot of friends who are looking forward to this episode because they are hoping to get some advice from Kim about how to get their life together.
That is a lot. That's a huge burden because Kim is still trying to get her life together.
I knew she would laugh when I said that. But I mean financially. Like right now, I'm sitting in Kim's apartment, which is bomb as fuck. So I don't know what she's talking about. She don't got her life together. And she has this really powerful like vision board that I'm like staring at that has all these amazing words like money, power, respect, which isn't that a Little Kim line?
Yes, that is a line from Little Kim's rap.
It has like elevate and style and power and grateful and black love and achieve and happiness, eat right, look great, all this crazy stuff. But before we get into the episode, I want Kim to introduce herself a little bit and tell the listeners about yourself.
So, as you said, my name is Kimberly Lyons, and I'm just a regular girl from the Bronx, in my Cardi B voice.
I was going to say, like, okay,
regular,
Cardi.
Regular girl from the
Degular.
Bronx.
Degular, doesn't she say Degular?
Degular girl from the Bronx. I am 36 years old, about to turn 37. I am a municipal finance professional, and have been in a career basically all my life, ever since grad school. Yes, we are here in my lovely apartment in Riverdale. I still live in the Bronx, not too far from where I grew up.
But a really nice part of the Bronx, I feel like. And I don't mean to say that in a bad way, but
no, it's, yeah.
People, you know, people look at the Bronx and they think of those like apartment buildings that like it's have like, a million people.
Yes.
But it's like
the Bronx has a negative connotation, I think, you know, we're not like one of the gentrified boroughs. It's not like a Brooklyn
no.
or anything, but I mean, it's still home. It's where my family and my friends are from. So when I did, you know, have the means to purchase my apartment, I decided I wanted to stay close to home. I didn't want to go to Jersey. I didn't want to go to Westchester. And Riverdale is like one of the best options in the city as a whole to live. So
I didn't know that. So it was like your decision was behind wanting to be close to your family, wanting to
yes,
be close to home.
Absolutely be close to my family. I'm like 10 minutes away from my grandmother. So.
Love Nana.
Right, exactly.
And it's so funny because I feel like you are a Bronx girl through and through in that.
I am.
Girl, even when you're traveling, I'm like, you look like you're just like, they just put you, like you didn't like.
I am. I like to say that like, for whatever it's worth or however people try to frame me and like, you know, like you're corporate, like you quote unquote made it or whatever, I am still like the same girl from the Bronx, like regardless, like if my 9-to-5 and my 5-to-9, I say are like the same thing. It's like the same person that I am with my friends and my family are the same. It's the same person that I am with clients. Like you get the same person.
And it's so funny that you said that because I literally, this is not a question I was going to ask you, but this has been coming up in my life because I work in a hospital setting, which most people know that the hospital setting is male and white dominated, especially, which is so weird in Hartford, which is really diverse. You don't feel like you have to code switch?
No, I used to, actually. I used to code switch a lot, and I think as I have gotten older and just more comfortable in my skin and just more comfortable in my own ability as an analyst and like knowing like I used to have imposter syndrome.
Yes,
where
girl.
I used to, you know, you think, like, I don't really deserve to be here. Like, I don't deserve to be, like, the only, sometimes only female, definitely mostly all the only black female in these boardrooms or sitting across from these clients or in these meetings. And I realized, you know, yeah, I do deserve to be here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know my shit and I know it well. And I'm not apologetic for the achievements that I have. And, you know, I think once I realized that, I just stopped, like, I had to be my true self.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it's very exhausting to code switch.
Mm.
Like, very exhausting.
It is. And I don't, for me, I struggle with it differently in that I know two languages. And sometimes I feel like my brain has to process what people are saying. And I feel like people don't know what I'm saying because of my accent or because of me talking so fast or something. So for those of you guys who don't know what code switching is, which I'm hope that you guys know. But
most people do it and they probably don't even realize that they're doing it.
Right. And you don't have to be speaking another language. If you're a person of color and you just grew up, you know that you act a certain way at home. You feel like you need to change the way that you are at work to assimilate to the larger population because you don't want to show your color.
And I think it's funny, though, like, with me, especially, like, I've had the same group of girlfriends since I was, like, a
Glam
child.
Squad.
Yeah, shout out to the Glam Squad. the oldest friendship is, like, we're like, kindergarten.
So, that's amazing.
You know, I can't be somebody else. Like, I can't, like, be who I'm not. So when I do meet people now, like, you know, even like with my boyfriend and stuff, like people are just like, you're so conservative, you're so corporate and stuff. Like, I think like that is my true identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like all the way like hood, but it's also not like all the way corporate. Like, I'm just like in the middle and I'm just able to seamlessly move between both worlds because that's who I've always been. Like, I've always been the girl, like, even like on a lot, like, I've always been the girl that.
Like,
got good grades in school.
Yeah,
like, I was just, like, you know, like, not, like, I don't want to say the word bougie. Sometimes the word bougie has a negative connotation, but people didn't say it in a malicious manner to me. They were just always, like, you know, like, she's not that type of girl. Like, she's, like, down to earth, and like, I would hang out with the guys from the block, but they just knew, like, certain things, like, I'm just not gonna do. Like, we just always knew that who you are now is who you were destined to be.
Do you feel like even before that, before you got to the status that you're in now, that you've always had that personality where, like, I'm classy and I'm hood, I can get down, but I could throw on some heels and be present in this?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's just who I am. Like, I, you know, even my friends joke about it all the time. Like, I'm like the trap music queen. Like, I listen to the most, like, gutter rap music in the world. My friends are like, did you hear this new song? Like, I don't listen to R&B. Like, I don't listen to any of that. Like,
nothing soft.
They're just like, God, even my boyfriend is just like, can you, like, not listen to, like, Lil Uzi first thing in the morning? Like, can you not listen to Migos? Like,
which I feel like I saw that at Bonet's 50th birthday.
Right.
You guys were, like, the hood music came on and, like, the whole room,
like,
turned.
Turn
yes. And you had, like, a dress on. I was like, no, Kim, stop. Like, I feel like I'm going to see your stuff. Like,
that's just what I love. And even, like, I feel like at some point I'm going to have to stop because I'm, like, getting closer to 40. And I'm just like, but I feel like the music keeps me young.
And you know what? You, and I've always said this, and I'm not just saying this because you're sitting next to me, but when my friends, because I have different groups of friends, some with kids, some with that are married, some in relationships, they get down on me about the fact that I'm not in a relationship and that, you know, I'm not out here with all these guys and when am I going to settle down and why don't I have kids? And it's so funny because I always reference, I'm like, Kim is happy. Like, she has her career. Why I want to be like Kim where she, and I'm not putting that in a situation where you're saying, like, I don't want to have kids, I don't want to get married because... But I always think of the fact that women like you really make it feel good for women like me to think, like, oh, I can have success and love can come when it does come. Because, you know, you're in a loving relationship and you're happy.
Yeah.
And I know that we all take, you know, we all have different timing.
Yes.
But it does feel nice to see that you are kind of game changing in that way, that you're just like, well, why can't you do both? Like,
right.
It seems like some women, it's either or, and that's not fair.
And it's not fair. I think that, so within my group of girlfriends, we have, it's pretty much split down the middle, like half are married with children,
mm-hmm.
and the other half of us are either dating or in relationships, but like with no children, but we're, you know, and it's fine. I think that for me and sort of my journey, I just never was inclined. I was never that girl. Like mm-hmm. I never was saying, you know, I never grew up saying like, oh, I want a baby or yeah. like, oh, I want kids. Like I just never was. I used to say that I lacked like the maternal instinct. Mm. And even like growing up around, cause like it just wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, having relationships and after school, you know, like I wanted to be successful. I don't want money and I'm kids are expensive and
yeah,
kids are crazy expensive. And I know my friends are like that, you know, are married and have children. They love their children. And I like I love that love. Mm-hmm. And if it happens at some point, I think that's great, but I've spent so much of my life actively avoiding getting pregnant.
Yes, I feel like everything that we're taught is that.
Right, actively just to avoid it. But I do think it's interesting because I am at a point in my life where it's kind of, you know, you get scary. Over 35 and it becomes scary.
Right.
Because now you're gynecologist, everyone's talking to you like, oh, like, you know, have any kids. I think at some point, like, at between, like, 20 and 30, it's, like, it's great. Oh, great, she doesn't have any kids. She's, you know, concentrating on doing her. When you get into your mid-30s, it's, like,
girl, what you doing?
Yeah, like, why don't you have any kids? And so in a manner of, like, what's wrong with you? And, you know, like, I travel a lot. Like, I'm just, I like to be on a go. I don't like to have anything... I don't want to characterize a child as this, but, like, holding me down. Like, sometimes I forget to feed myself. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with a kid.
Right.
But, you know, to bring it back, like, you know, there are times now where I think, like, damn, like, should I? Now it's, like, crunch time. Like, you know, your doctors are like, okay, if you do get pregnant, it's considered a geriatric pregnancy at this point.
What?
Yeah, like, I just had, like, my checkup, and we had this very long conversation. And she discussed, like, you know, freezing eggs. She's like, if you're going to do something, you have to really consider it within, like, the next year or so. And I'm like, damn, like, I'm still, like...
And I don't even know that freezing eggs are expensive because the creator of Curl Box, Miley Teal, yeah. I'm obsessed with her. And so she's pregnant. She's in her 40s. And she, like, had issues with her pregnancy. And on her podcast, she talks about... that same issue that you're talking about.
I mean, it is very expensive. And then also, I think, you know, black women, it's very expensive. But black women as well, like, I have uterine fibroids. So, like, that's also an issue. Mm-hmm. And it's in a majority of black women. So there's all
that.
Of these. Yeah, it's a lot of health issues that factor into it as well. But I do think that there's no pressure. I don't put any pressure on myself because there are so many women who are getting pregnant later in life and who are delivering healthy babies.
Yeah.
And they are more prepared for it, not only mentally, but financially.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's cool that, you know, some people had their kids early on and they basically were able to grow up with their kids. But I also think... that it's cool that you have the option and choice to wait if you want to. And I still haven't decided what I wanted to do at this point, but I think I still have a couple of more years to figure it out.
And I'm happy that you don't feel that you have that pressure where you're like, I'm just kind of, like, my friends group is kind of split. Yeah. Like, I'm just chilling. And
if I want to, you know, like, I could babysit if I wanted to. Like, right. I can have access to a kid, but, like, right now, you know, what works for me is, like, just being able to get up and go.
And I love that laid-back attitude because I think that people assume that if you don't have any kids and, you know, in your age, that you are, like, you're missing something, you're empty, you're lonely. And it's like,
I'm not missing any damn thing.
Like, literally, Kim is hydrating right now because she had a turned-up Friendsgiving last night.
Yeah, so. This is a hangover. interview.
No, but I love it because you...
And I wouldn't be able to do that if I had a damn baby running around.
No, it's true. And you know what's so funny? That I'm totally... This interview is about finances and we're getting like... We're talking about so many things that are so relevant though because...
It's just not... And it was I'll say this. When it happens. Yes. But until now, the way my lifestyle works... If right now a kid couldn't factor into that, and I like nice shit, and like you have the expensive,
yeah, and having nice things definitely requires for you to like prioritize. Like, okay, am I gonna have nice things or like mediocre things and have a child? So, what point, Kim, did you feel like you were successful enough that you're just like, I don't need to code switch and I don't need a kid or a person to validate me? Like, did you always kind of have this, did you always feel this confident, you know?
No, I've definitely never always felt this confident. And sometimes it's really day by day. Sometimes I feel like I'm at the top of my game. Other times I feel like I don't deserve any of this. So, you know, I think it's always something, especially with my personality, being a Capricorn and like a super type A, I think it's something that I constantly deal with. Like, I'm always trying to think about new goals, achieve new goals. And I have like an immense fear of failure, And I think that keeps me on my toes, and that's what really, like, you know, just keeps me really focused.
Yeah. But you recently got this title change, right? This promotion?
Yeah, so I
like, how long have you been at this particular firm?
So I'm at this current firm, it's 2.5 years now, but prior to that...
It seems longer.
It does seem longer because it's been so much going on. But prior to that, and it's kind of interesting because it ties back into the confidence question. Prior to that, I was at another firm for like 9 years. And exactly. And, you know, when I first started there, it was like I was on this very fast upward trajectory. I started out as an analyst, and then I got like promoted. Did I get promoted twice? I think I got promoted twice. Associate analyst to analyst. And then I got promoted to an assistant vice president.
Wow.
And then it was like nothing else was happening. And I would see all of my colleagues and peers. They were getting promoted to vice president. It's going on like 4 years at this point that I'm still an AVP. And like all of these mediocre white men are getting promoted around me. And that shook my confidence to the core.
Wow.
And then I realized that I had gotten so comfortable at that one firm. People, you know, who had left or my peers, they were getting promoted, they were not only out earning me in delivering mediocre work, but now they had a higher title. And I realized, like, I had let myself get too comfortable. And I think... especially, I mean, I'm not going to generalize, but I think, you know, a lot of black women, we are really risk averse. A lot of minorities in general, like, we're really risk averse, especially when you feel like you don't belong there. Like, you're not, like, you know, you're working in this corporate environment and, you know, people think that you may have just gotten by on a whim or whatever. Yeah. So you don't like to be super vocal. You don't want to take a lot of risk. And I realized, like, to regain my confidence, I had to bet on myself.
Yeah.
So nobody in a million years thought that I would leave that particular firm. Wow. And I did. And they were just all like, oh, my God. And the firm that I was going to, it was like super small boutique, and everyone's just like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, all of my bosses, all these women, they were just like, you know, in another year or so, if you wait it out, you'll get a promotion. Like, yeah, no. So I took that leap of faith, and I left. I left my comfort zone, and I went to this current firm, and I got hired there as a VP, and then just 1 year later, I was promoted to senior vice president and the head of my little small department. And that would have never, ever happened at my prior firm. Like, wow. I would have never gotten that promotion. I would have never gotten this title. I would have never gotten the leadership opportunities that I've had here without betting on myself and taking that leap of faith.
See, and I think that's amazing because I feel like every single person that I've recorded for this podcast, like, who own a business or who are really thriving in their business have said that they wouldn't have been able to get to where they are now without taking a risk.
Right.
So you bet on yourself, which is the best bet to make, right? And you are at this amazing firm, which is awesome. Now, what is a municipal finance...
Right.
What
so,
what is it that you do exactly?
So what do I do? It is this is like the million dollar question. So I am basically a bond analyst, a municipal bond analyst.
Okay.
So state and local governments issue debt to finance infrastructure projects, right? Wow. So, say, Hartford, which actually is in a not really good budgetary position right now.
Girl,
in the state of Connecticut. So, say the city of Hartford wants to build a new school or repair a bridge or a road or something. That project may cost $50 million. They obviously don't have $50 million sitting around to fund it. They have to go to the bond markets to finance that, and they issue debt to finance the projects. And lovely older people, retirees, generally buy these bonds. And I say older people, most people, everyone has a bond in their portfolio. So I think most people, their first... association with a bond is like a savings bond or something like that. But municipal bonds, they pay a guaranteed interest rate is generally lower than a stock. So as you get older and closer to your retirement age, you want to have more bonds in your portfolio than stocks, because that means you're getting like a set revenue stream. There's minimal volatility with bonds. Municipal bonds generally do not default. You're going to get your money back, the same money that you put in plus your interest.
Wow.
The municipal market is huge. Trillions and trillions of dollars flow through this market. And what my job is, I basically evaluate the creditworthiness of an issuer. Oh. So in my prior role, at that firm, I was the actual rating analyst. So if the city of Hartford says, you know, we want to sell this bond, they would come to my firm or one of our competitors and come to us for a rating. So you need a rating to sell the bond in a market. And, you know, we would evaluate their creditworthiness. So Hartford at this point is probably, I think they're below investment grade. But, you know, you get a letter grade from high AAA to below investment grades, which mean that you are a default risk.
Wow.
And so that's it. So basically what I do now is that I work for a firm that basically would buy that bond.
Mm-hmm.
And I monitor the creditworthiness of the entire portfolio. So if I see one of the bonds in our portfolio is underperforming, I have to, you know, start flagging that and, you know, just basically heightened monitoring for it.
Wow. So you're basically managing like thousands, trillions, millions of dollars.
Millions and build our portfolio. Actually, we have, I think, over $11 billion in exposure to U.S. municipal bonds. So it's it's spread out all over the country, so I am in charge of watching all of that.
Oh my God, Kim. So with managing everybody else's money, does it get better to manage your own?
No. I'm going to say that because, you know, it's not really managing someone's money, because I'm not, like, I'm not doing asset management. I'm not a money advisor.
Okay.
I'm just like the person that's going to tell you, like, okay, the city of New York looks like they're close to a default situation. You may want to sell that bond now or prepare yourself to
write.
Okay. Right. But this is for like a large institutional bank. So I'm not like advising like Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, like, you need to sell this out of your portfolio right now. That's a different lane.
So not like small level stuff.
Right. That's a different lane. But I will say this, and just in terms of like your own personal finances, it just because you work in finance does not make you really smart with your own personal finances. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people, people in my industry make a lot of money, and a lot of people like literally live check to check.
That's so crazy.
It's crazy. It is crazy because I think people don't realize that it doesn't matter how much you make. It depends on how you manage your money, and really it's on the expenditure side of it, like your lifestyle. People think that when they make more money, they want to upgrade their lifestyle to that without realizing that, no, maybe you should keep your lifestyle a little bit below that so you can create a buffer, and most people don't.
I saw you post something, which you post a lot of things on Instagram that end up following, and it was like, when you get a promotion, like, pretend that you didn't and put that money in the savings account.
Right.
And has that, well, first of all, have you always wanted to work in this sector?
Like, no, when I started out, I actually wanted to work in politics. I went to school I went to school for public administration. I have a master's in public administration. And I went to the University of Albany, Rockefeller. Woohoo. And I lived in Albany, and I did my internship. You have to do an internship with your grad program, and I did it at the New York State Legislature. And working there and getting, like, a first... like getting that intimate with their inner workings of politics and seeing how actual laws were passed and seeing like the lobbyists and how much influence they had at the state house, it just really turned me off from politics as a whole. And I just realized like it really is like a power play, and the people who like need good policy passed the most don't really get it, like, at all. It's basically the donors and, you know, whoever influences the most, they're the ones that, you know, get what they need passed. So then I was thinking about not-for-profit work, but I wanted to come home, so I wanted to come back to New York. And one of my professors in my public finance class was like, well, hey, you can work in a private sector in a city. You don't have to just do, like, public sector work, because I would have, like, went to the city and worked for, like, the budget office or something like that. And he was the one that really told me, like, this is, like, a whole industry that most people don't even know exists and know about, and you can, like, get into it. And that's pretty much how it happened. I had no clue what a municipal bond analyst was before I got there.
That's amazing. So it was like you went from wanting to do politics, and a professor kind of put the bug in your ear.
Yeah.
And you went from there. Have you watched Insecure?
Yes, I love Insecure.
Girl, can we talk about that situation where Molly opened that paycheck, and she saw that her white counterpart was getting paid more than her? Have you ever experienced that personally, or someone else in your sector who's a woman of color experienced that?
I think it's just common knowledge that women of color are underpaid, and I do not hesitate at all to, I know that that applies to me.
Yeah.
I've never seen it directly, like, and people are very secretive in my industry in terms of...
about what they make?
Yeah, and I think that that's a generational thing. I think that people, you know, like, I think I'm on a cusp of being a millennial. I do not really, like, think of myself as a millennial, because I'm, like, need naps all the time, but I think millennials are much better at being open with those with salary details, and I think that that's what's needed, because if you don't know what your peers are making, like, how do you know put a value on yourself? Exactly. But I will say this, that now I'm managing a team, this was the first year.
Oh, so you're managing people now.
I'm managing people now. And I saw that one of my male analysts made more than the female analysts on my team. I wasn't involved in the hiring when they were hired.
Is it like a big jump between what men and women are making in that particular situation?
I think that, you know, what are the stats? 80 cents? I'm not sure what it is. 80 cents, I think it dollar. Really, I think it's aligned with that. Okay. I think that it's true. It's
wow. True. Did you have an opportunity to, do you have a say in those situations where you can change that or you can't?
I've tried to advocate for it, but I don't have the final say, and it's unfortunate.
Wow.
And it's unfortunate.
Do you have any suggestions for what people can do if they find themselves in that situation where they, where they're like a Molly or they're you?
I think if they, you know, I think, well, this happened. This was a little part of why I left my former company. You know, I needed to get paid more. You have to advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. Internally, it's something that I'm gonna have to do again at the end of this year for myself.
Yeah.
And if they don't respond, you basically have to know your worth. Like, you, people have to be ready to like pick up and leave. Like, I think people, yeah. I think a lot of minorities, especially women, we have this feeling that we should just be grateful to have a job or yes. grateful to have that opportunity, mm-hmm. and we don't realize like these companies are making millions and millions of dollars. They're not loyal to us. We do not need to be loyal to them.
Right.
And just, you know, be ready to take that leap of faith.
And I swear, Kim, it's like the universe is talking to me because I'm having the same issue at my job. And I'm talking, I am asking for the listeners, but I'm asking more for myself because me and this other woman, she's black. We're the only people of color in mm-hmm. the whole department. This particular hospital is very white and male dominated, and when it came, I've been there for 2 years. I'm supposed to be promoted up to another position, and I know what the middle, the yeah. maximum range is, and so they gave me significantly less than what I'm supposed mm-hmm. to get. And so I've gone to all these seminars about advocating for yourself and negotiating your salary, and I did everything right, and they still aren't giving me what I deserve. And everyone that I've been talking to is telling me, well, then you need to go then.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because, like, I feel like I'm doing so well at my job and I'm perfecting my craft and I get to travel at my job and I'm running programs and I'm doing so much. But so the thought of having to leave brings me a lot of anxiety. But it's like, you know, as women of color, we already have an issue with advocating for ourselves.
Yep.
And then when we do and we don't get what we deserve, it's like, do we stay at our job and be miserable?
Not worth it.
Right.
It is not worth it. I've had jobs where I was like so miserable. You realize like you spend the bulk of your day at work, and that has
yes.
a huge effect on every other aspect of your life. If you are miserable at work, it's going to seep through to everything. And no, depression is real. Anxiety is real.
Yes, girl. Yeah.
And I'm not going to let any job kill me.
Yes. Yes, yes. No, it's just so crazy because I was just talking about this with someone that I was recording an episode with yesterday, and I'm very transparent on my Instagram about like depression and anxiety. And people are uncomfortable with that, but it's like, you need to make it known that depression and anxiety look different, everyone.
Yep.
And things like your support system at home, your relationship, and your job, those three factors contribute tremendously on how you're going to be able to function. Oh my god, the wind is like fierce.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, but it's like, dang.
Yeah, those trees are like moving. Yeah, no, I think that we definitely need to normalize depression and anxiety a little bit more. I think, mm-hmm. especially within our communities, people try to shy away from being associated with the words or with the conditions. They think that it's like a negative connotation, but you know, it affects each of us, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's nothing wrong with reaching out to someone, to talk right. to someone. Like, I'm a huge advocate of therapy. I'm a huge advocate yes. of medications, like, mm-hmm. whatever you need to be on to make you right, just do it.
Yeah. No, and I second that. I love that. You know, have you seen, and maybe you haven't seen this, but do you feel like people of color, that we spend money, do we make mistakes in terms of spending money differently than
no.
white people? Because no. I always hear that.
No. I am so sick of these fucking Facebook memes. Excuse my language. I am so sick of the, oh, if you didn't buy your Jordans, you would be able to buy a house. Like, that's bullshit.
Yes.
Studies and data have proven that extremely wrong point. That is, like, it's mm-hmm. such I feel like it's such a an easy target, like, mm-hmm. to like beat, yeah. and beat minorities down. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, they want to talk about our spending power as consumers, and yes, we do have a lot of spending power, but it's a fraction. We are still the minority. It's a fraction of the spending power, mm-hmm. of white people. We do not outspend white people.
And that's good to know, because
it's so wholly inaccurate, and I hate it every time I see somebody post something like that. I'm like, you guys are fucking retarded. Excuse me.
You can say whatever you want on this podcast.
No, I don't think you should say the word retarded.
Oh, no. Our word is controversial, but...
Sorry. I just think it's ridiculous. And like, you cannot...
I wanted to hear from you, because as someone who likes nice things, and then you buy name brand things, but you also manage a home. So it's kind of like, see that you do both.
It's about managing your money. You cannot tell somebody who only has $500, like, that they shouldn't buy this thing for like $100. What if they're saving the other $400,
right,
and they wanted to, that little 100 portion is their happiness. But then someone else who has like $500, like, they're just mismanaging everything. It's all about how you manage your money. Like, if a person has paid all their bills, given their 10% to their savings, let whatever joy that they have over in their money, people work extremely hard for their money, let them have it. If that's sneakers, a video game, I don't care what it is. Like, I'm just not into like bashing people for what
they want to purchase.
Exactly.
If they want to stand in line and get Jordans, if they want to...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's all about managing your money, so...
Yeah, like, you can't fund a down payment on a home with $200 Jordan money. Like, I'm sorry. Right. Like,
it's not equivalent.
It's like, not equivalent at all. And that's what I think people... Especially, we live in a world right now, especially with, like, social media.
Yeah.
Everyone has an outlet. Everyone has a voice with their opinions. And people just spout the most incorrect things. Like, I'm just so sick of, like, that Hotep mentality where it's just, like...
Do you ever correct people when you see that?
Sometimes I do. But then I realize, like, can I spend my day arguing on the internet? I can't.
That's true.
I can't. Like, I just have to scroll by. And that's why I don't go on Facebook, because I hate Facebook with a passion. People are so stupid on Facebook.
People are crazy stuff on Facebook.
And they take it as law. Like, whatever somebody else posts.
There's a lot of fake news on Facebook, too.
Like, I can't. I do not. I'm much more of a Twitter, Instagram girl. I cannot do Facebook. Like, it would enrage me every morning going on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And that'd be a lesson to everyone who's listening, that if you see a meme or something on social media, do your research.
Please do your own research. Please, please, please do your own. It's like the modern day Willy Wonka letter. Like, just, you can't, it's just incorrect.
I know only one other person that's in the same sector as you. He's Puerto Rican, and he's my age. He's a financial analyst, and he has, like, a whole closet full of Jordans. And he was just saying, like, oh, like, he was talking to me about how the same thing that you just said. Oh, people think that because I have a whole bunch of Jordans, I don't manage my money, but, like, I'm going to take this. I think he said he was either going to invest in it or, like, sell it.
Resell. And that's a huge resale market right now for sneakers.
Because he has, like, throwbacks and, like, he doesn't touch them. And, you know, people take care of their stuff.
People pay top dollar for sneakers now. That is one thing. I think that it's a good outcome of, like, this. The huge social media presence right now, like, it's created a lot of entrepreneurs. Like, there's so many lanes for people to make money now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, sneaker reselling is a big one. It is a big one. People make a lot, six figures, like, selling sneakers.
And there's all these websites now where you can sell your clothes.
Yeah.
That's like, before, it was just, like, Plato's Closet or going to some kind of thrift store. But now there's literally websites where you can sell your shoes, your purses, mm-hmm. your everything. No, and I love this, because I feel like we've hit so many hot topics already. Are there some tips that you can kind of give our listeners? And I know you don't, like, manage small, like, industries.
Right, but I'm not a financial advisor, so yes. I'm going to say that. But, well, what I will say is that I think budgeting is key. I'm a huge, huge fan of Dave Ramsey.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Total Money Makeover. Yes. Sometimes it can be feel a bit extreme what he's saying to do, but I think it's all about finding a balance. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people living below your means is a huge way to get ahead. Save early, save often, always pay yourself first.
Always pay yourself first.
My goal is always, so he has like, Dave Ramsey has these 6 baby steps. So step one is, I think baby step one is like have $1,000 like emergency fund. I think that's amazing.
And don't they say you should be saving up for your salary or something?
You should be saving up between 10 to 15% of your salary. Okay. I think everyone should have like an emergency fund because emergencies always happen. I think everyone should have 3 to 6 months of living expenses or strive to achieve that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just a very big fan of saving money.
Yeah.
Debt is something that should be avoided when you can, because it's a trap. Like, we know we definitely live in a materialistic world,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of people, you can fall into a trap where you are relying on credit card debt to subsidize your lifestyle. And once you realize that when you can't pay your balance in full anymore, that's when you realize like that's a problem. It's going to continue to grow.
I feel like it's a trap. You know, a lot of the things that, I know a lot of friends, for example, who find themselves in a situation where they are doing all the opposite of everything you just said. So they'll make, maybe we're going to use $40,000 for an example. They make $40,000. They're living like a paycheck to paycheck. They're not living within their means, right? Mm-hmm. So they want like a really nice apartment.
Right.
They have like a really nice car. Everything's high, like their APR rate, their car payment, their insurance. They have credit card debt, they have school loans, and they're scraping to buy groceries
and
cars.
That is a horrible way to live. And I'm not judging anybody because I'm not perfect at all. I have credit card debt. I do have loans, but it's from grad school, and it's not a lot. I was very fortunate and blessed that my dad paid for my undergrad tuition.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie. no, I also have grad school debt. It's not that much,
but, you know, I do have debt. But I think that debt is crippling, student loan debt especially. Like, it is crippling so many people, and it's unfair. I think it's unfair that, you know, millennials are painted as this kind of, like, just generation that spends, and that, like, you don't want to buy a house or you don't want to save your money. Mm-hmm. But look at the jobs. Like, I've seen some of these jobs offers that comes out, and they're like, master's degree required, but they only want to pay you like $35,000. Like, who can live in 2017 and 2018 on that? Like, I think that what mm-hmm. America has become, the way our economy is right now, it's not sustainable. Like, you cannot have the same type of lives that your parents or your grandparents had, like, when they came out of school or when they were like young adults working. Like, it's hard to, like, that's why people are having families later and doing everything later, mm-hmm. because it's taking so much longer for you to get established.
Absolutely.
I'm a bit, like, after just seeing this stuff, if I did have a child, like, I would not, like, make my child move out my house. Like, I think people, if you need to go back and live with your parents and stack up your bread, do that. There's no shame in the game.
Yeah, I live with my mom, and it totally, and I help her pay her bills, so I don't live there for free, but it's definitely
it's a big help. Like,
absolutely.
Do that. Like, whatever you have to do to get yourself together, because I think, like, you know, another issue is sort of the comparison game. Like, you see people on Instagram, mm-hmm. you see people on Facebook, and you're just like, damn, how are they like affording that lifestyle? And that's how people get tripped up. So, you know, they want to have the same lifestyles that other people have, but you don't know what that person is doing. They may be committing a crime to do that lifestyle. Like,
right, people are now doing photo shoots on jets and stuff,
like,
to take pictures for the gram.
It's crazy. Like, so mm-hmm. my whole big thing is just, like, I just tell people, and it's something I have to teach myself all the time. Like, you know, I have those points, and it's like, let me save. Let me pay down all of my debt. Let me do this stuff because it, you know, it feels good. And then it's other times where I'm just like, damn, bitch, the Chanel store is down the block. Like, let's go. Like, oh, like, I deserve it. Like, I have no say when it comes to that. Like, I have had my moments of weaknesses, and then I have to clean it all back up. So it's like 6 months of spending like I'm Diddy, and then 6 months of living like I'm like a pauper. Like, I'm not spending a damn thing for the next 6 months.
Right.
So, do you feel,
and I want to pause on that for a second, because we live in a society, well, you live in New York, and I would be broke. I think that I would, like, all the brunches and all the Uber Eats.
Yes,
and
it's
the
a lot.
Your little block had, like, all, I was like, ooh, there's a taco place here. Like, I would just be
the
eating.
Happy hours alone.
Girl,
are just, like.
How do you resist temptation when all your friends and everybody around you wants to go out to eat? What is it? What's your, like, motto? Do you tell them, like, girl, like, I'm spending for 6 months, or are you good at saying no? Or?
I'm very good at saying no. And another thing is that generally, like, all of my friends were generally on the same page. You just be like, bitch, I'm broke. Like, we're like that upfront with each other. Like, I ain't got it. I'm not going. I'm not doing nothing. We make proclamations. I'm like, I already told them. After my birthday, the next 6 months, you're not going to see me. I'm going to be in the house saving my coin. And, you know, you can say that, like, I can say that with my inner circle. But, you know, I have other groups of friends, and they may, like, want to invite me out. And I feel bad because I have to say no. Like, I may not have seen them, like, since last year. But it's like, I can't. I ain't got it.
Yeah. And all this, honestly, this, I feel like this is helpful for everyone. But this is helping me, too, because I'm in a transitional place in my life, Kim, because, like, I want to leave my job because they're not paying me my coins. Right. Like, and you already know, Hartford is terrible.
Yes.
Like, we don't have a budget. No one is in my particular fields and in my department, no one gets paid over $50,000. And mind you, you know I have a master's. Well, everyone knows that. And so it's really hard, and it's just really difficult, and I don't want to get into it. But on top of that, I also am thinking about how I want to move, and it's just one of these things where you feel like you're going crazy because you're like, I want to keep going forward, but I'm getting all these roadblocks. You know, do you have any advice for someone who's like, I feel like I'm stuck. What's the first step? Because I know you recommended the David Ramsey book, which I really enjoyed as well.
Yes, I am a big, big, big fan of Dave Ramsey. I think the more people who, you know, start to live by his steps early on, like, the better you will be in life. Like, I'm restarting now because, you know, again,
you
it's just level. I do own the book. I own, like, I've gifted people with the book as well.
One of my friends got married really young. Where, they've been married for, like, 2 years now. And so her and her husband, like, they took all their debt together, and they were able to pay off their loans little by little. And now they, like, don't have any debt.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it, but she was like, I read this book by Dave Ramsey.
Yeah, Total Money Makeover. And
what? Like, apparently their church recommended it.
A lot of churches do recommend it. So, I mean, like, it's sort of like, there is, like, that evangelical part of it. But, like,
it's relatable.
It's very relatable, but you have to be able to cherry pick the things that will work for you and work for your lifestyle. It may be hard for some people to follow the six steps and do exactly what he says, but I think the main principles are valid and are helpful. But I think, you know, like, going back to your situation where you're describing, I think just for anyone in general, like, you just have to let, like, time work itself out. Like, don't put yourself on a fast track timetable. Don't, like, say, I need to move out by, like, a year from now or something like that. I think, like, slow and steady always wins the race.
Right.
And if you're feeling undervalued, you know you're undervalued. It's not going to get any better.
It's not
going to get any better at your current position. And especially if you, like, feel like you advocated yourself and you're still hitting that roadblock. That's when it's like you gotta take a risk on yourself.
No, and I love that. And I feel like that's a perfect way to kind of end, because I know that there's a couple of things that Kim said. It's about advocating for yourself, betting on yourself, and saying no, right? So if you're in it, I know so many friends, because I'm also bad at this too, where we want to save, we want to do this philosophy where we don't do anything for 6 months. but we don't know how to say no to people. And I am going to have an, I'm recording an episode with a friend about saying no and putting up boundaries. Cause yes,
boundaries are extremely important.
Yes, and boundaries are the favorite thing that people love to break, okay? Yes.
And you don't, you're not missing out on anything. No. You know, or give yourself, like, the freedom of, like, one social event a month or something like that. But boundaries are extremely important, and no is my favorite word.
Girl, no is a full sentence.
Yes, no is a full sentence. No explanation needed. Mm-hmm. No.
And like what Kim said about reading the Dave Ramsey book, The Total Money Makeover, which I'll put in the show notes, you have to, with anything, on social media, whatever you read, you have to take what you want and leave the rest. Like, you're not supposed to ingest the whole book and try to implement everything because it might be overwhelming. You have to cherry pick it to your situation. So it might be that you have to start off from scratch and saying no to things. And saying no is hard. But there's definitely a lot of blogs and a lot of people who write full articles. Psychology Today has a great article on saying no and how you can actually say no to people around you. Because it's weird how the people around us are the hardest people to be truthful to sometimes.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Yeah. Whew. So I definitely want to get into our rapid fire round with you, Kim.
Okay.
I say rapid fire, but it's not fast at all.
Okay.
So, what are you listening to right now? I know that you say you listen to a lot of trap music. So, is there something in your rotation that?
Right now, I'm loving Motorsport with Migos and Cardi and Nicki.
Yes, Motorsport.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, perfect. And what are you reading right now? If you're not reading currently, what was the last thing you read?
Okay, so I am horrible at this. I order like 3 books a month, and I just have not been able to read. So The Year of Yes was the last book that I read by Shonda Rhimes, and I just ordered Gabrielle Union's book, We Need More Wine, and Hillary Clinton's book.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to read both of those. And then also ordered Negroland, which I'm also super excited to read. Yeah, so I have like a stack of books that I have
that need your attention.
Read. Oh my god!
Well, there's 6 months that you're gonna be in hiatus. You can read.
I know I can read. I'm addicted to like, and like I need the physical. Like I'm not a Kindle girl. Like I need the physical.
Oh, and I love paperback. Yeah, and it's so crazy. Every single person I've interviewed so far has said that they either read or want to read Gabrielle Union's book.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to start a book club with my friends because I feel like that is a good book to
That's
read.
A good book. I've heard nothing but good things from it.
I'm excited. What's your morning routine like? So you work, I don't want to say regular, but you work like a 9-to-5 or 8-to-4. So to
so
get
I'm
you
really
get it.
Bad. I don't have a morning routine. It's very weird. I'm not a morning person. I'm not really a night person.
Neither.
I'm like an afternoon person. So I am just like exhausted in the morning all the time, but I'm trying to create one. So
okay.
I am going to start getting up an hour earlier and working out. And I have these B12 like
supplements.
Yeah, supplements that I'm gonna start taking because I think it is actually very important to have a morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to get one.
It's okay. No, that's what. And I like asking people because everyone is different, and you'll be surprised. People like you that have like great skin will be like, I don't have a morning routine.
Right.
I'm like,
and then,
I have to do like a million things so my face can clear up.
But it's just like soap and water.
Right.
I feel like
I'm
just
so
roll
jealous.
Out the bed.
I hate
Sometimes
it.
I don't even take my makeup off. It's bad.
Eyelash chilling on your cheek.
It's so bad.
So what's your, I know you're not a night person either, but what's your nightly routine? Do you do anything to like turn down from the day that's like consistent that helps you kind of get to sleep?
I don't watch like regular TV. I'm like a big cable head, and I watch House Hunters every night.
Love House Hunters. No, that's amazing. I love that.
I watch House Hunters every night and just zone out before bed.
That's awesome. You go to bed with the TV on?
Mm-hmm. I have to sleep with the TV on.
Oh, interesting. What has made you the happiest this week?
Oh, my friends. Friendsgiving
has
made me the happiest.
Which, it looks so fabulous. And lastly, what do you do for self-care?
I nap. I swear to God, I nap. I love taking naps. And like I think people don't nap enough. And when I do have the time I do, you know, like massages and stuff like that, but going, like taking naps and just taking time to myself is like just so important. Like there are times where it's like you got 1,000 things on your to-do list, but sometimes you just need to relax and just,
I love that.
Yeah. You know.
No, I'm a huge advocate for just resting, yes. Whether it's you closing your eyes or you're just sitting, but you need to reboot.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kim, for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, of course. And thank you for accommodating me and doing a hangover
episode. I'm like, this girl is blabbing.
No, this was awesome. I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. Kim definitely has a lot of gems. And, ooh, is there any place where people can find you if they want to read your stuff or follow you? No,
I keep my social media private.
Okay, that's all right. But if you Google her, you will find her in some amazing article or something.
You're right. No, it's fine.
No, it's okay.
No, I'm not a big, like I said, I don't have a Facebook page. My Instagram is GlamSquadKRL. But I probably will not accept you. I don't accept strangers. There's just a lot of fake pages out there.
No, I get it. And you haven't been, you haven't done any other interviews or anything like that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
Oh, I'm the first.
You're the first.
That's awesome. And so if you guys really liked this episode, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe. We are on iTunes and SoundCloud at Basic Latina Podcast. Make sure that you know that if you rate and review, the more reviews we get, the more visibility we get. And visibility is everything. And the Basic Latina Podcast inbox is open. So email me your comments, questions, or suggestions at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. If you write me a letter and you'd like me to read it on the show with a guest, I'm happy to do that. At some point, we want to do a listener letter episode in the season. So I'd like to thank the Pod Squad for making Basic Latina Podcast sound so good. The editorial oversight is by Gabby Barnes, and music is by Michael Guns. We'll talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.